land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. I'd like to teach you tonight. I was going to teach this Sunday morning, but service changed. I want to talk to you tonight about the reason for standards. Not necessarily about standards per se, but I want to talk to you why. Why we have standards. Or why we teach outward standards. Well, will you pray with me? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your kindness and your goodness, for your love and your mercy. Ask you to help us, O God, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Talk to us today, Lord. Dear God, in Jesus' name, speak to our hearts and our minds. Give your name the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Separation is God's idea. It's not our idea. It's God's idea. You can find it as early as the first chapter of the book of Genesis. He divides the night from the day, the light from the darkness, that is. He calls the light day, calls the darkness night. He separates it. Separates the land from the sea. And makes a separation there. Separates the heaven from the earth. God's teaching us a lesson there. A lesson of separation. God wants separation. So here the Lord begins to talk to these people, to the children of Israel. I'm going to do a little object lesson tonight. And he said that when you, if I can do this, praise the Lord. He said, upon the fringe of your garment. Well, come here, brother. Drew? No, you're not going to help me. I'm going to help you, praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Devil's trying to enter this class tonight. I don't know how much time of these I'll need. Okay, let me get another one of these. And we'll get it done. Okay. Yes, well. Okay. I ain't wanting to cooperate. But we not going to be hindered. Ain't you glad I'm not using a stick pen? All right. So the Lord said, I want you to you're going to have fringes on your garment and you're going to put a ribbon of blue in. I lived in South Florida for some time and there was a large community of Hasidic Orthodox Jews and they really, whatever the law said, they took that for, so they did it. And you'd see them, or you could tell them because on their coats, on their pant legs, they'd have that ribbon of blue. And the ladies had a ribbon of blue. And God didn't do that to humiliate them or embarrass them, but the scripture here says, if Brother Andy will pick up on verse 39. And, all right, yes.
And it shall be unto you for a friend.
And it shall be unto you for a fringe.
That you may look upon it.
That when you look upon it.
Remember all the commandments of the Lord.
You remember all the commandments of the Lord.
And do them.
The reason for standards. First we're going to deal with Israel. And Israel, turn, Brother Andy, to the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, 1 through 7. Brother Cotton, pick up Psalms 4 and 3. And Brother Dallas, Romans 9 and 4. And Brother Adam, how about Hebrews 11, 13 through 16? Now, when you think of blue, when you think of blue, what do you think of? It's going to be a long lesson tonight. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you think of heaven. When you think of blue, you think of heaven. So God had the children of Israel to put a ribbon of blue on their garments to remind them they belonged to heaven. That God had chosen them from the earth to be His people. What does it say in Deuteronomy 7, brother?
When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land,
yes,
whither thou goest to possess it,
yes,
and hast cast out many nations before thee,
yes,
the Hittites and the Girgashites,
yes,
and the Amorites, and
yes,
the Canaanites,
yes,
Perizzites, and the Hivites,
yes,
and the Jebusites,
yes,
seven nations greater and mightier than thou.
Go ahead.
And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee,
mm-hmm,
thou shalt smite them,
yes,
and utterly destroy them,
yes.
Thou shalt make no covenant with them,
yes,
nor show mercy unto them.
Go ahead.
Neither shalt thou make marriages with them.
That's why God don't want you marrying the unbelievers. Way here in Genesis, God is teaching not to marry the unbelievers. Do not marry the unbelievers. Go ahead.
Thy daughter shall not give unto his son.
Yes.
Nor his daughter.
Yes.
Shalt thou take unto thy son.
Yes.
For they will turn away thy son from following me.
Go ahead.
That they may serve other gods.
Yes.
So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly.
Go ahead.
But thus shall you deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
You shall destroy their altars and break down their images.
Now, I'm not going to teach on this, okay? But it don't say anything about taking Baal's altar and putting Jehovah's name on it. And thinking you're going to give it to God.
Good.
That's what this religious world. I mean, that's what. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get strung out on that. But that's what Constantine does. You know, the guy that called the council that they formulated the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, and they put the Father and Son. It took them 60 more years to get the Holy Ghost as a member of the Godhead. He had to feel pretty bad. But in this council, they made Father and Son co-equal persons. Well, in the same time, Constantine's trying to please all these Romans. So to please these Romans, he decides that I'm going to placate them. And these Romans are used to worshiping the sun god and all the various gods. So the sun god had a birthday. And the sun god's birthday happened to fall at the time of the winter solstice. That's when the days start getting longer. So they thought the sun was being reborn. So they called it the sun god's birthday. And praise the Lord. It's called Saturnalia. That's what it's called. If you look it up, it's called Saturnalia. And I don't want to get off on this because I got somewhere I'm going at it. I don't want to, but anyhow. God said, destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and don't take their graven images. Well, I think that'd be a good lesson for the apostolic church. Amen. To do the same. So, let's move on. Let's go to the subject we're on. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
For thou art a holy people.
Thou art a holy people.
Unto the Lord thy God.
Yes.
The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people.
Yes, 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 yes.
Above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Yes.
The Lord did not set his love upon you.
Yes.
Nor choose you.
Yes.
Because you were more in number than
any. Yes, yes, yes.
For ye were the fewest of all people.
God said, so he's saying here in Numbers 15, when you put on your garments every day, that's to remind you you're special. You don't belong to this earth. You belong to me. You are a special people unto me. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Every day that Israelite would put on that garment that had on the ribbon of blue, that would remind him, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm not a citizen of this earth. And watch here in this, you can sit down, we've seen you, but I may bring you back up again. Here it said, that you may look upon it and remember. Verse 40, that you may remember. They wore what they wore to remind them, you belong to me. You don't belong to this world. You belong to me. Your garment, that ribbon of blue is not going to make you holy. That ribbon of blue is not going to make you sanctified. That ribbon of blue is to remind you, I chose you. And because I chose you, you're holy. And because I chose you, you're sanctified. This is just a daily reminder that you're not part of this world. You're not part of the Hittites. You're not part of the Hivites. You're not part of the Jebusites. You belong to me. Since they wore clothes every day, it was a reminder to them every day. What does it say in Psalms 4 and verse 3? God has set apart. They were chosen. They were separated. They were sanctified unto God. God said, you belong to me. You belong to me. If you ever been around the Hasidic Jewish community, now boy, there's all kind of Jews down there in Miami. Most of them, there's probably a million Jews between Palm Beach County, Broward County, and Dade County. I wouldn't be surprised there wasn't a million Jews there. But I tell you what, you could run into them every day and you wouldn't know they was Jews. You wouldn't know they was Jews. Here, there, God said, I've chosen you and I've set you apart because they lost that somewhere. But not so with them Hasidic Jews. They're not that ribbon of blue. It reminded them, hey, I belong to Jehovah. I'm part of Jehovah's people. Amen. At a young age, when they started dressing them kids and they're telling them, this is not a decoration. This is a reminder you're not like everybody else. God's chosen you. He has set you apart. He's made you different. Where are you at, brother Dallas? Talking about the different things that God had given Israel. What does it say?
Who are Israelites?
Who are Israelites?
To whom pertains the adoption? And the glory.
Whoa. Come up here, Drew. Praise the Lord. When you see this ribbon of blue, it's to remind you, you're adopted. God chose. Adoption means God chose you. God chose Abraham. God chose Isaac. God chose Jacob. He chose Jacob's 12 sons. He said in 3 and 2 of Amos, "You only have I known of all the people of the earth." God chose him. And when they put that on, "I'm chosen," it reminded them, "I am chosen." Go ahead. Oh, that cloud by day and that fire by night. That God that divided the Red Sea. The glory that fed them daily with manna. That reminded them, you know, He didn't leave you to make it on your own. You know, He was your glory. Yes?
The covenant
of Abraham. Then He confirmed it in Isaac. Then He confirmed it in Jacob. Then He confirmed it in Moses. Then He confirmed it in David. And every time that you look at that ribbon of blue, it's to remind you, you and God's got a deal. You and God's got a partnership. That's what that ribbon of blue is to remind you. Go ahead.
And the
service
of God.
Said He's given you the law. He wrote with His own finger. God didn't do that for anybody else. But for Israel, He wrote the law of God with His own finger. And when He looks at that, that should remind Him, you're different. Law belongs to you. You're to adhere to and obey and keep the law of God. Yes?
And the service of God.
God gave them the tabernacle. Can you imagine? The whole exterior, about 45 wide, about 125 or 30 feet long. And God said, He's got a, right there, I'm going to put My name right there. And I'm going to accept the blood sacrifice there. I'm going to set the daily sacrifice. That's the only place I'm going to set it in the whole earth. Now, brother, that's pretty particular. But God said, "I'm going to do that." And said, when you put that on, you remember, I made a way for you. I tell you what, you want to talk about God and God's works? You got two chapters that deals with creation. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. You know how many chapters you got to deal with the tabernacle plan? 40. So God was more interested in having fellowship with man than He was even making man. He didn't give that to anybody else, but He gave it to Israel. He said, when you put on that ribbon of blue, you remember the service of God and the promises. Not only all of the obligations, but God made some promises to Israel that He's still keeping unto this day. Okay, you can. All right, where are you at, Brother Adam? Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Yeah. Yes, yes. 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 Can you say heavenly? That ribbon of blue was to remind them, this world is not my home. Better country. I belong to heaven. You know, I think it's very interesting in this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But how many remembers, ever heard anything about Korah? And how Korah rebelled against Moses? That's in chapter 16 of Numbers. In 15, God gives Moses this dress code. And in 16, here you've got Korah coming up. And I don't think the setting is by accident. In Numbers 16, if Brother Andy will look at that. Numbers 16 and verse 3. And then I'm not going to spend long there. But I just want to show you this. Go ahead. 16 and 3.
And they gathered themselves together against Moses.
Yes.
And against Aaron. And said unto them, you take too much upon you.
Okay. Now. Here, this hadn't happened until chapter 15. But in chapter 15, Moses steps out here and says, that's what God told me. God told me everybody in Israel is going to wear a ribbon of blue. That's going to remind them to keep the commandments of God. And then you go right into chapter 16. And Korah said, wow, who do you think you are? You ever hear that around church?
Come on.
Who do you think you are to tell us how long to wear our sleeves?
Come on. Come on.
How long to wear our skirts?
All right.
You're right. How to fix our hair?
Amen.
Or where do you think you? You telling me you're going to judge me? Yep. That's what I'm telling you.
That's right.
And there was no revolt in these people until Moses said, you're going to wear an identifier. There's a lot of folks like a Honda Most High and we're going to run around the church. But you put an identifier on them. Well, they got to quit sucking their cigarettes and chewing their snuff and bobbing their hair and painting their faces and putting on all the jewelry they want. Wow, who do you think you are? Well, God's wanting to remind you, you belong to Him.
Right.
And He made it visible.
Right.
He made it visible where folks not only could see you, but you could see it to remind yourself, I belong to heaven. I belong to God. Brother, Korah done pretty good. Got 250 side with it. We're not going into all that. And the earth opened up and swallowed a whole bunch of them.
Yes.
Then you had 14,700 sympathizers. And they all died. And I don't know how many more would have died. But verse 48 talked about Moses. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. So, well, what does that got to do with us today? Well, the Bible says, and in Jude verse 11, somebody run over there and get that. We're moving on. We're making good progress. You there, Jude chapter 11. Read.
Woe unto them.
Yes.
For they have gone in the way of Cain.
Uh-huh. You know what the way of Cain is? Cain was self-willed. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to do his own thing. And then when God didn't go along with his plans, he gets mad. And kills his brother. What did Abel have to do with it? All Abel done was all for what God wanted him to offer.
Right. Obedient.
But the Bible said they got in the field. God accepted Abel. And God rejected Cain. And there's always going to be some folks going to raise Cain against those folks that's Abel. Praise the Lord. Amen. And, the Bible said, and Cain and Abel got talking in the field. I think old Abel's just telling Cain, why don't you just do it God's way? Why do you have to be stubborn and hard-headed and self-willed? Why don't you just do it God's way? And old Cain said, I'm sick of hearing that. and he killed him and didn't even have a gun. Praise the Lord. So gun control didn't help him back then. I don't know what he used. Rockers, hands, or stick, whatever. Amen. Somebody wants you dead, they get rid of you. And they don't have you. Ain't no gun law going to save you either. Praise the Lord. Okay, and you say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And in the way of Cain, yes.
And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam.
Oh, Balaam, Balaam preached what you wanted to. You paid. But he was, Balaam said, I'm for sale. I'm sell the highest man. He had that one, you know, that one tribe there. They bought him a priest. Remember reading that in the Bible? They bought him a priest and had an ephod and had a little god. Had a little god there and preached and all that. They's in hog heaven. But these folks come along, they can give the priest a little more. Next thing they know, the priest and the ephod and everything was gone. Sold out to the highest bidder. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, going the way of Balaam. Oh, Balaam said, for reward. Me. Well, I don't really think it matters that much. I don't really think we ought to make issue over that. Two men that love each other.
Right.
And they want to be in a monogamous relationship. Now, why should I care what they're doing in the privacy of their own home? And he's got a good job. Sam and Bill both have good jobs. So I don't want to, anything to upset Sam and Bill. Well, I said this 20-some years ago, and folks looked at me like I fell out of a tree. But I said 20-some years ago, I said, the day will come in so-called Pentecostal churches where you'll see men sitting together with their arms around each other. I said, you know why I know that? Because folks are divorcing and remarrying in the church. And that was a no-no. But 25 years later, you got to hunt high and low to find somebody.
Right.
Well, they're divorcing and remarrying and staying the pastor of a church. Evangelist.
That's right.
Apostle Hunkadory. Praise the Lord. They divorced and remarried and it's accepted. I mean, they think nothing of it. But it took about 25 years to get there. I can remember, my dad didn't preach the truth. He was around kind of what they call, well, it wasn't even good trend to Pentecost. It was just, I don't know what they called it back then. Just everybody's mind on the Lord. But when he remarried, he's in Kentucky. When my dad remarried, he had to leave Kentucky and go start preaching somewhere else. I'm talking about folks that wasn't even in truth. Well, you can hold license with an organization now. Oneness organization. And divorce and remarry. And be right back in the pulpit. But it took time to do that. Hollywood done that. Hollywood programmed that for years. Be happy. Well, that other woman will make you happy. Other man will be happy. And it took them 25 years to sear everybody's conscience where nobody, well, they don't think anything about it. And for the last several years, they've been doing the same thing about homosexuality.
Right.
You mark my word. And it's probably already happening in some places. You'll see men. Now, you won't see it here.
Thank God.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. You'll see men with men sitting in Pentecost churches because we're being conditioned. You know who's the ugly, the nasty guy now? The guy said no.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. If you're saying homosexuality is a sin and abomination, they think you're a bigot. 20 years ago, you was the norm. They didn't call it being in the closet for nothing. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I gotta move on. But the that's from that. All right, now we're gonna move on over to bring it into the church dispensation. John 15:18-19. Brother Cotton, John 17:14. Brother Dallas, John 2:15-16. Brother Adam, James 4:4. And Brother Morse, Romans 12:2. Now we're down into the church age. Okay. You can go and sit down. Now we're in the church age. Now we're the children of God. We're not Israelites, but we're the children of God. They had his brother. Get that scripture back up in Romans again. What was Romans 9:4? Jump that back up there, and I'm going to show you the contrast today. Who are Israelites who have the adoption? Well, we're not Israelites, but we've been chosen. Well, praise the Lord. You're chosen. For you are a chosen generation. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You're chosen. We got the glory. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the glory of God. We got the covenant. We got the new covenant, which is blood. We've got the giving of the law. Instead of the giving of the law, we have grace. The service of God. Ain't you glad for the church? Yeah. And the promises of God. The Holy Ghost is a promise. Yeah. The resurrection is a promise. Yeah. All the provisions of God are a promise.
Yeah.
So we're the children of God. All right, now we're going to go. Where are you at, Brother Andy? John 15:18-19. Yes. John 15:18-19. Go ahead.
If the world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you.
It hated me before it hated you. Yes.
If you were of the world would love his own.
That's why some folks, they don't have any problem. They talk like the world. They look like the world. They think like the world. And the world accepts it. They smoke the same cigarettes. They drink the same beer.
Yes, sir.
They watch the same programs.
Yes.
They go to all the same stuff. I'm going to tell you what you do. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to chat it like it is. You go up there and take a picture of these folks coming out of this church down the road up here. This unchristian church up here. And you go and take a picture out of folks coming out of Johnny's Bar on 3rd Street, if there is one on 3rd Street, and they look the same.
Right.
Amen.
They look the same. You can't tell any difference. You go down to Big Daddy's Lounge, you take a picture of folks coming out of Big Daddy's Lounge, they look just like the folks coming out of there.
That's right.
You know why? Because they're of the world.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But you're not of the world.
Hallelujah.
You are not of the world. What?
But because you are not of the world.
Yes.
But I have chosen you.
I have chosen you out of. God has chosen you out of this world. So the reason for our standards is to remind us we're not of this world. We belong to God. Shouldn't you women complaining about your long hair and fixing up, when you're fixing your hair and putting it up for if a woman have long hair? It is her glory. For her hair is given to her for a covering. Not a hat, but hair. But praise the Lord. That's why when folks see us here around about. They know there's something different about us. Your long hair don't make you holy. Our long sleeves don't make us holy. Our clothing does not make us holy. It reminds us we're not of this world.
That's right. You're right.
Well, praise the Lord. These guys that's running around claiming the Holy Ghost with their short breeches on and their muscle shirts, you know what they're saying? They're saying, I don't want anybody to know I'm any different. And they're not. You young ladies that go to work, go to school, whatever, and you're rolling your skirts up, putting a little makeup on,
come on,
trying to blend in, but you are not of the world. But I have chosen you out of this world. And those standards are not a bondage to you. Those standards are a reminder to you, I belong to God. I'm doing what I'm doing because I belong to God. Amen. We'd go visit my father. And anybody, years ago, that's part of the charismatic movement, we've met and seen. We've seen them all. We know them all. They'd all be visiting Dad. I can raise my hand before God. They'd see us. I never was embarrassed of my wife the first time. But they know what we was. They'd say, are y'all folks United Pentecostal? I said, no. No. So we all kind of... So, well, they're a little liberal. We say that. They say, they're a little... They're liberal, huh? Well, they look like... UPC folks look like Amish upside them folks. Amen. I mean, their old lips painted up like the back end of a baboon, praise the Lord. So, whole hair cut off and chandeliers hanging on their ears and rouge and lipstick and all that. And they is, Holy Spirit flow through me. Holy Spirit ain't gonna flow through a sewer pipe. And it embarrassed me a little, I don't know. But embarrassed my wife. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You go to some Pentecost churches like it's like advertising for Kentucky Fried Chicken. All you see is breasts and legs and wings. Breasts, legs, and thighs. Praise the Lord. There ain't no wings. Amen. That's the problem. Amen. But you're not of the world. You're not of the world. God, He called you out. Ain't you so glad? He called you out of the world. These good apostolic haircuts don't make these folk holy. But the Bible says, does not even nature teach you if a man have long hair? It's a shame to him. You don't need a 14-hour Bible class. You just need to be a man.
That's right.
And nature tell you, man, it's time for me to get a haircut. I seen this charismatic guy years ago and see him and his wife, and they had this sneering deal. It's like we had bad BO. And he said, has your wife ever cut her hair? I said, no, my wife's never cut her hair. No. So now we were kind of like that at one time. We were Church of God, and my wife trimmed her hair, but she trimmed it. And so I'm trying to be kind and, and sweet. And I said, you know, 11th chapter of Corinthians talks about long hair and short hair. Yeah. So we believe that's what he said. I said, well, that's kind of odd because your hair is longer than hers. Either you got long hair or she's got short hair because your hair is longer than hers. I said, figure that out in the 11th chapter of Corinthians. I just left them to talk to themselves. Amen. But you're not of the world. Now, where are you at, Brother Cotton?
John 17:14. I have given them thy word.
I have given them thy word.
And the world hath hated them.
And the world hath hated them.
Because they are not of the world.
The world hates them. Because they're not of the world. Now you go ahead, you try to blend in all you want to, but when Jesus comes for his church, you're going to be left here with him.
That's right. Right.
You're going to blend in with them. No, praise the Lord. You do everything they do, you're going to blend in, but when Jesus comes, you're going to be left with them. Jesus said, you're not of the world just like I'm not of this world. Jesus came from heaven and went back to heaven.
All right.
We're on this earth, but the Holy Ghost we have come from heaven.
Yes.
And that Holy Ghost is going to take you back to heaven.
Yes.
But it's not going to take you back to heaven if you're like this world.
Right.
Who's got John 2:15? Well, wait, go ahead. I'm sorry. I meant 1 John. That's my fault. 1 John 2:15. You go ahead. Who got James 4:4? Okay. You adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not? Friendship of the world is an enmity of God. Therefore, what? Well, glory to God. I don't think Miley Cyrus should be a model for our young girls. Now, who's this fella couldn't figure out whether he's a man or a woman? My Lord, he's an ugly man and he made an uglier woman. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to tell where all this, I'm going to tell where every bit of this started. You hear me? Every bit of this started back in the 20s and 30s when women bobbed their hair off, put on a pair of pants, and started moving the gender distinction between men and women. They move the gender distinction. Now, praise the Lord. Women ought to look like women.
Yes.
God said it's an abomination. For a woman to wear that, not for a woman to wear a man's garment, for a woman to wear that that pertains to a man. God wanted the sexes distinguished. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Then these men look like they got on women's underwear. Act like they can't figure out whether what I'm supposed to be. Just look like a man. Just walk like a man. Talk like a man. If you got that squish, learn how to walk like a man. Amen. Put something to help. Help kick that hand up. Well, praise the Lord. Be a man. But you can see what's happened in the last 40 years. to where that's the norm and we're the odd. All right. That's all that is. Okay. Now, Brother Dallas got it. 1 John 2:15-16.
Love not the world.
Yes.
Yes. If any man love the world,
yes.
The love of the Father is
not in him. Oh, yes.
For all that is in the world.
Yes.
The love of
the flesh. Yes. The
love of the eyes.
Yes.
The
pride
of life. He is not of the Father.
But
is of the world.
And this whole world circles around that. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. And God wants us different. God don't want you young girls showing your bodies.
No, sir.
Amen. That's right. Keep yourself virtuous and clean. And while I'm saying that, He don't want you men out showing your body.
That's right. Right.
Amen. 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 Glory. That's to remind you. When you ladies put on your godly dress and you men put on, that's to remind you. I'm different. I'm different. I belong to Him. This ain't a bondage to me. I belong to Him. Besides, you look ugly in shorts anyhow. Praise the Lord. All right. Who's got that Romans? You got that Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. I want to read you that in some other translations. Be not fashioned according to this world, American Standard Version. Be not configuring yourself with this age, the Rheims Version. Do not live according to the fashions of the time, the Noor Version. You must not adopt the customs of the world, the Goodspeed Version. Do not imitate the way of the world, the Lamza Version. Stop living in accordance with the customs of the world, the Williams Version. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. I love that. That's the Phillips Version. Be not conformed to this world, this age, fashioned and adapted after its external, superficial customs. The Amplified Bible. Be not. You know why? I'm bringing this down. Because 1 Peter 2:11 said we're pilgrims and strangers here. Philippians 3 said our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to God. Now I want to end this up with a Bible story found in the book of Esther. And Brother Andy will pick up Esther, chapter 2, 8 through 17. Queen Vashti refused her husband. And in that day and time, that wasn't allowed. And so Ahasuerus put her away. And he went searching for a new wife. Because the people said, you know, if he lets her get by with that, then that'll happen to all of us. So the men said, we can't let that by. So he goes hunting for women. And so there was a young woman by the name of Esther that was Mordecai's niece. And he puts her up in the running. And there was a steward there, a eunuch there, that took care of this. Let's start reading. I think it's in verse 8. We're going to close on this. Go ahead.
So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together under Shushan the palace,
yes,
to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house.
You need, and I'm not trying to put no ribbon on me or no, I'm not, that's not the intent. But you need a he guy in your life that knows what pleases the king. If you're going to be the king's wife, you've got to have someone that knows the taste of the king. So, they brought him to the custody of Hegai. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. There was something about Esther that she had qualities that Hegai saw that none of the rest of the maids had. I'm going to tell you what, there's something about this one God, Jesus name church. Brother Jared has got qualities that you're not going to find down at the Church of God or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church or the Episcopalians. Brother Mike, every one of them's running to be his wife. But when old Hegai saw Esther, there was something different about her. You know what was different about her that he didn't realize? She was a Hebrew. That's what makes us different. We're Hebrew. We've been born of the water and of the Spirit. And what? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Out of the king's house.
Yes, yes.
He preferred her and her maid.
I'm going to tell you what. There ain't nobody gets God's attention like God's people. And again, I'm not trying to put star in my crown. That's not the purpose for that. But I'm going to tell you what. I want to be real kind. But old Elder Cavendish used to say, people get the leadership they deserve. You find folks that they got a blind shepherd and a dumb dog. Well, praise the Lord. Because they wouldn't hear a true man of God if they had one. So God's not wasting his time to send them one. Go ahead. Yes. Don't you tell anybody you're a Jew. Don't you tell anybody. Go ahead.
Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house.
Woo!
You know how Esther did.
Oh, but old Mordecai's keeping an eye on her. Go ahead.
And what should become of her?
Yes.
Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus.
Yes.
After that, she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women.
12 months. 6 months with the oil of myrrh, and 6 months. Brother, time she got in there, she was smelling good. Well, praise the Lord. Because God has a certain scent he likes to smell. And that incense is our prayer and praise. I'm going to get soaked with that. You want to be appealing to God? Soak yourself in prayer. Soak yourself in praise. Soak yourself in worship. Soak yourself in thanksgiving. Soak yourself in gratitude. Go ahead.
For so were the days of their purification accomplished.
Yes, yes.
6 months with sweet odors.
Yes, yes.
And with other things for the purifying of the women.
Yes, yes.
And thus came every maiden unto the king.
Yes.
Whatsoever she desired was given her to go out.
Yes.
To go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house.
Yes.
In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women.
Yes.
To the custody of Shay.
Who cares? Go ahead.
The king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She
can't get to the king no more except the king delighted in her. And that she recalled.
If the king didn't delight in her and called her by name, she just kept on trucking. He gave her sack lunch and sent her home. She had one shot. She had one shot. And if his eyeballs didn't come out on the stem, said, give her her sack lunch and send her home. It's just one shot. I'm going to tell you what, we just got one shot.
That's right. That's true. Amen. That's right.
You just got one shot. I ain't going to waste this. This is the only shot I'm going to have.
Yes,
there ain't going to be no rerun.
No, sir.
Go ahead.
Now, when the term of Esther,
when it come Esther's, when it come Esther's turn, glory to God. Glory to God. Come here, hear me. Yeah, Sister Bert, come right on up here. I want to begin. When old Esther, when she walks in the door, what does it say?
She required nothing but what he got.
She didn't require anything but what he got told her she needed to have. You need to listen to the preacher. You need to listen to the preacher. What? Go ahead. Yes. Yes, yes. 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 Brother, and when Esther walked in there, and she had only done what he guy had told her, his mouth dropped open. He said, shut the door. The audition is over. Woo, hallelujah. There's just something about her that's different from all the girls. You know what? She was a Jew. She had a praying Mordecai. And Mordecai knew Hegai. And Hegai knew what the king liked. Brother, that's an unbeatable combination. Well, glory to God. And when the king saw her, he said, the contest is over. Shut her down, buddy. Close the door. Get the crown. I'm putting on her head. She's going to be the queen. She heard what he got had to say. She done what he got said. She put on what he got said to wear. She got up like he got said. Oh, glory to God. And he got knew the desire of the king. She became the queen, and not only did she become the queen, this one woman saved the whole nation of Israel. Woo! Thank you, baby. You've done a good job. Amen. Amen. So all I'm doing what I'm doing, instead of you complaining, someone's always pushing the envelope. Trying to see how close they can get.
Right.
You wouldn't do that if you really understood what it was all about. We don't believe our sleeves and our dress length and our hairstyles and our unpainted faces. And us without jewelry, we don't think that makes us holy. There's folks in other movements that do that. And they, when in Indiana, there was a group there in Bedford. They were called Faith Mission. There was a split off of the Wesleyan Church. They were some of the most devoted looking people you ever seen. The women wore their hair real plain. They wore no jewelry. They had no television. They were very modest. They wore long sleeves. They looked the part. But you mentioned the Holy Ghost to them. That'd get ready to whip you. The only thing that was worse than that was baptism in Jesus' name. They hated it. So what all they done didn't make them holy.
No, sir.
But of them folks there, if they could do that, you know, I was at the hospital the other day seeing Sister Davidson, and I seen a doctor coming way down the hall. You know how I know he was a doctor? He had on a white coat. If he'd been coming in there with cut-off shorts, with a muscle shirt, and a ponytail, and a ring hanging out his nose and his ear, I never knew he was a doctor. But I knew he was a doctor because he had that white coat on. If he wasn't, he's impersonating one. And I know we're in a society today that hate the police. But if you hate the police so bad, you call a drug dealer next time somebody's trying to break in your house.
That's the truth. Amen.
A pothead. You call a pothead out to help you out. But you see, you know, I know there's plainclothes policemen, but you know, that's why they're plainclothes. We got a lot of plainclothes. Pentecostal, praise the Lord. You see somebody with that uniform on, it lets you know. There's the police.
Right.
I'm in the airport and I watch these Marines go by. You know how I know about their Marines? They got the Marine uniform on. The Army's got the Army uniform on. The Navy's got the Navy uniform on. The Air Force got the uniform on. I know who they are. I can tell them by sight. Because they belong to Uncle Sam. Well, I don't think somebody belonging to Uncle Sam ought to mean more to them than me belonging to Father God. I believe I ought to be more in line with Father God than they are Uncle Sam. I just want you to know, when you see, one more time before we go, come here, brother. That old Jewish boy put that coal in the morning, raised that arm, put it up, and he done lost the testimony. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he seen that ribbon of blue. Said, I belong to God. I gotta watch where I go. I gotta watch what I do. I gotta watch what I say. I gotta watch my behavior. This is to remind me. This is a reminder to remind me. I'm God's child. I've got to please Him. Thank you. Amen. I hope this will kind of help you somewhat. That this, we're not trying to put anybody in bondage. Some folks are so glad they're out of bondage. They had us doing all that stuff. And well, I'll not say this, but I'm going to say it. There's two prodigals in the Bible. Yes, there are two of them. One, two. Two of them. Two. Y'all know one, don't you? That one prodigal, where was he at? He was in the hog pen. You know, he wasn't home in the hog pen. You know why? He was a son. He's looking at them hogs. And he said, man, I don't belong in here. He said, when he came to himself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow them. The servants are doing better than me.
Right.
He was a prodigal son. But there's another prodigal in the Bible. Y'all remember? It was the hog that was in the house. The hog in the house is just out of place as it is the son in the hog pen. You get that old hog in the house, you can get a hog, you can wash it. You can give it a permanent. You can wax it with Johnson wax. Paint its toenails if they got anything. They got hoops, ain't they? You can dress it. You can spray it with perfume. Man, we had a dog ever since we were small, Sassy. I preached on that one time. And we raised it just like a kid, you know. I mean, it was pretty good. And I'm out one day, and an old crazy Amish went down the road with that chariot. Carriage. And old Sassy, she forgot all about that she was our little baby. And she's running down the, and I'm chasing her down the road, the old goofy Amish. And boy, I was mad if I got her. And I got in the house, I'm a fussing. And boy, I'm mad. And she said, what happened? I said, this is crazy. It's run down here, lady. She said, baby. She's a dog. You may treat her like a human. She's not a human. She's a dog. I have tried to pastor folks. They weren't happy in the house. They were a prodigal in the house. They were the honk. And just as soon as that door got open wide enough, out that door they went and back into that hog pen. You know what a dog would do? Anybody know what a dog would do? I'm getting ready to tell you what a dog would do. A dog will vomit and turn around and lick it back up just like it's T-bone steak. How vomit? Yeah. Eat vomit. But a dog can do it. I've seen some dogs. If you call that world out, get it all puked out.
Come on, brother. You're right.
But they couldn't hardly wait to get back in and go eating that old slop again. So there's two prodigals. There's a prodigal that's in the hog pen, said, I got to get back home. Then there's a hog that's in the house. Said, I'm tired of all these rooms. I'm tired of all these. There's a hog pen. Man, that looks good to me. They're out there wandering around that old hog pen. And they're loving it. You're trying to figure it out. How could they love that? They love that because they're a hog. Woo! Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Well, I gave you the reason. I'm going to tell you.